Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to discuss, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here in the book of Galatians, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So he lays out this gospel message, exactly who Jesus was and is and what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he says this, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one." Who is that one? Jesus Christ himself, who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening in the world today. It's been happening for 2,000 years, and that's why there's so much confusion in the Christian world, because the basic gospel isn't being proclaimed in its clarity, in its simplicity, in its purity. We're adding strings to it, all kinds of conditions to it. You know, you can be saved, you know, if you do this, this, and this. You can really experience all that God has for you if you just add to the work of Jesus Christ with X, whatever it might be. Well, whenever you add to the work of Jesus Christ, you're adding to the gospel message, and you're taking it out of the realm of good news into the realm of bad news. If there are conditions attached to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are doomed.
Yes.
We have nothing more than the old covenant, that Mosaic covenant that God established with the people of Israel. It was an if-then covenant. If you obey all of these statutes and commands, then I will be your God and you will be my people. That was a contract. It was ratified by the shedding of blood, and the people of Israel entered into it with these words on their lips, "Lord, everything that you have commanded, we will do." Well, why do you think we have a new covenant? Well, because they couldn't keep the old covenant. God found fault with the people. Why? Because of the way that old covenant was structured. If then. In this new covenant, we have something completely different. It's a covenant of grace, where everything falls upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, the faithful one. He is faithful to fulfill the requirements. He's faithful to carry out the promises, and he's faithful to choose us and declare us to be children of God. It's a covenant all about Jesus Christ. And any other message that takes away from the work of Jesus is no gospel at all. It is not good news. It is not good news at all.
But we have good news here every day on Basic Gospel, and we thank you for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and we invite your phone calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. If you'd like to talk about what Bob Christopher was just discussing, why, give us a call. If you have a Bible question, something that is going on in life that you can't quite get a handle on, we'd love to talk about it with you. So give us a call. The lines are wide open right now. Plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk with Oscar, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. There's something I don't quite understand when it comes to salvation. I mean, in the book of John, John 3:16, where it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, if I go in the book of Romans, I see that it says no man seeks after God, no, not one. So, does that mean that God is the one who seeks us? Once God saves us, now we believe. do we have to be saved first before we believe, or do you have to believe to be saved? I don't know if I think I'm a little confused with that.
Well, Oscar, the gospel story is a story of God reaching down to us in Christ Jesus. It's a story of God taking the initiative to draw us to himself through his love and grace and mercy. That's what the gospel story is all about. Faith is merely our response to that. We're not really, as one person said, a part of that equation. We just get to enter into it by faith. So, Oscar, God reached down to you in Christ, and in Christ saved you.
And now, as a result of my salvation, I respond. Is that correct?
That is correct. Here's kind of the point, the truth that we need to embrace. God initiates, we respond. That's the way it works. God initiates, we respond. If we reverse that in any way, shape, or form, where we initiate in order to get God to respond, we're just upside down. We've just messed up. God initiates, we respond. God initiates with grace. We respond with faith.
Oh, thank you very much.
That help?
Bye-bye. Yes, it helps a lot.
Okay, Oscar. Hey, thanks for your call. You hold the line. We'll send you a copy of this book, Forgiveness, The Door to Light. You hold on, okay?
That particular book available now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Yours right now if you call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator. That number again, 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right there on the homepage. Forgiveness, the Door to Life, available for a gift of any amount right now to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Trish listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Trish.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got a big question, and I know there's nothing we can do about it, but my question is, I think about this all the time, dying. I have a fear of dying. Do you?
Well, the process of dying doesn't look very inviting or appealing. I certainly don't want to go through, you know, what some people go through. I may, and that's just how it might be. I'm certainly not afraid to die. And the reason I'm not afraid to die is because I know what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. I know that he's died to take away my sin. So the judgment that I may have feared has already been placed upon Jesus. He took the judgment for me, the condemnation for me, and the punishment for me, so that I could be set free to experience eternal life in Christ. So I'm not afraid to die. I think many of us are afraid of the process of dying. But if you know the Lord, Trish, there's really nothing to fear.
I know the Lord. I've been saved. And I know that he died for our sins. It's just a fear that I've always had. And maybe it's just what you just said. It's that you don't want to go through some things that people go through that's very hard, but it just seems so unfair sometimes that, you know, God loves us and he died for us, but it's like you have this hanging over your head, and
Well, Trish, maybe I
need to look at it differently.
Death, as far as a believer is concerned, is viewed through a whole different lens. The body dies, Trish. That's it. You go to be with the Lord. You're in his presence, and you're going to get a new body. So, I mean, just looking at things on the basis of fair or unfair, you know, the world system and all of this is unfair. But we have something in Christ that transcends fairness. We have something in Christ that is just magnificent. It is grace. And there's no rhyme nor reason for God to save us by grace, yet he does. And he saves us completely, and that's an eternal salvation. And so death is just, kind of a blip in that process. I mean, this body is going to die. Your body is going to die. We don't look forward to that event, but it shouldn't scare us. Why? Because we know that as soon as that event happens, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. No better place to be. I mean, that's better than going to Hawaii. Going to be with the Lord and being in His presence doesn't get any better than that.
Well, I guess I just have to look at it a different way then. But thank you, though, for your comment. I appreciate it, and you
Trish,
all have a great Christmas.
Yeah, Trish, don't hang up yet. One of the things you've got to realize is that if you fear the dying process, you're fearing something that hasn't happened yet. And there's no grace out there in your future. There's no faith out there in your future. Grace and faith only apply right now to this moment. And since you have no idea how you're going to die, it doesn't do any good to think about it. Ask God through His Spirit to help you stay focused on the present and the grace that is yours in Jesus right now, this minute. And that gives you the courage and the faith to take the next step. And then the next step, and then the next step. Don't try to attack a thinking problem that's about the future, because you can't do anything about the future.
Absolutely.
Well,
but
Trish,
thank you.
You're welcome, Trish, and Merry Christmas to you. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this booklet on forgiveness as well. When we embrace that forgiveness, oftentimes that's the very thing that casts away the fear that we have inside of us. So let me put that in your hands, and thanks for your call. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Jermaine, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jermaine.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful, and it's nice to hear from you today.
All right. I have a problem with the gospel that you guys preach and the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Because if we look at the Ten Commandments, we, as Christians, we do everything in the Ten Commandments, but there's one thing that Jesus Christ Himself lived and did, but we don't do. And this is confusing to me, because Jesus Christ says that if you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Obviously, there's a true gospel out there, but what are we doing with the true gospel? Because we don't do what Jesus Christ did. We don't claim, the all the blessings that God gave to Abraham, but we don't live as Abraham did. What are we doing with that? People are confused, like you said, because there is a true gospel, a gospel of peace, love, and everything that we can imagine. But we don't do what Christ did on earth. How can we call ourselves Christian and when we don't do what He did? I'm confused on that.
Well, Jermaine, God did not send Jesus to become an example for us. In those bracelets, what would Jesus do? That's not a good message, because we can't do what Jesus does. That's the whole point. That's why God had to send Jesus to die in our place, so that we could die in Him and then be brought back to life and experience a new way of life that is directed by faith in the promises of God, in the love of God, in the forgiveness of God, in the mercy of God. So it's only through being born again of the Spirit will we have a chance of living out the love of God in our day-to-day lives. We couldn't do that as lost people. That's why we needed to be saved. And that's why Paul was so clear on the gospel message. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. So Paul said he preached the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And he said, this gospel you received and on which you have taken your stand, by this gospel you are saved. And then he goes on to say, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So this gospel message is of first importance to God, and if it's of first importance to Him, then it must be of first importance to us. And here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel message is about Jesus. His death, his burial, his resurrection. When we respond to that gospel by faith, we're saved, and then God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And it's through God's Spirit that we are able to express love both to God and to others. Without God's Spirit living in us, we would be hopeless and helpless. So it's important for us to really connect by faith to this gospel message, and then by faith be able to express that gospel message in love to others.
What is the gospel then?
Just what I read, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message.
So when God asks us to preach the gospel, what do we preach then?
We preach Jesus. We preach his death. We preach his burial. We preach his resurrection. That's what we preach, because that brings good news to our souls. That's what brings joy to our hearts, that my sins have been dealt with by Jesus once and for all. My old way of life has been put to death in Jesus once and for all. I have been raised to walk in the newness of life once and for all through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all of him. It's his story that is becomes our story through faith. So when we preach the gospel, we preach him.
So when we receive the Spirit of God, what do we do? What do we do with that? Do we live however we want, or do we have an example to follow?
Well, the example Jesus left us was not an example of the things that we're supposed to do, behavior. It was attitude, dependence. Just as Jesus Christ lived in dependence upon his Father, we are to live in dependence upon him. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's a life of faith. It's a life of abiding in Jesus. He's the source of life, and when we abide in him, then we will see the fruit of his life being expressed through us. And when we see the fruit of his life expressed through us, we know that his commands aren't going to be violated. If we're learning to love as Christ loved us, we're certainly not going to be committing adultery on our wives. We're certainly not going to be lying to others. But that's not the focus. The focus is to love people. The focus in this new covenant, in this covenant of grace, is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. It's to speak truth to our neighbor. It's to reach out and help our neighbor. It's to worship God from the heart, which we weren't able to do before we came to Christ. So this gospel message is all about Christ. And once we've responded to that by faith, we're saved. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And if we will just focus our attention on abiding by faith in him, we won't have to worry. He's gonna do great things through us, amazing things through us.
Was Christ born on December 25?
The Word of God doesn't say that. It's just a date we picked. We don't know the actual date.
What are we celebrating then? Is Christmas a festivity to celebrate, or what are we doing with Christmas if we don't know when Christ was born?
Well, Jermaine, I can only answer for me. During this time of the year, I celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. When we gather as a family on December 25th that morning, we read the story of Christ's birth as recorded in the book of Luke. We come to church services and we sing praises to God for sending Jesus on our behalf. That's what we do. Now, what you do, I don't know. What other people do, they may have other reasons for the season. But my reason is Jesus. It could be celebrated any time during the year. But he was born. That's a historical fact. And I praise God for it. Well, Jermaine, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Frank listening to us in New York. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. God bless you. Thank you. I have a bit of a problem with your elucidation of the gospel. It's true what you say, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing left for us to do, Bob. 1 Corinthians 7:19 says, neither does circumcision matter nor uncircumcision matter. What matters is keeping the commandments. And we know from 1 John 5 that his commandments are not burdensome. Also, we see in James 5...
What are those commandments in 1 John that John talks about? I mean, he distills them down to two.
Yes, but the whole law is summed up in the two, loving God and loving your neighbor.
He does it differently. He says, and here's the command, that you believe in Jesus Christ and that you love others as God has loved you. So,
right.
So this Christian life, Frank, isn't a life of rules and regulations and living up to a standard of morality. This Christian life is abiding in the one who has life. And that's a dynamic life. That's not a passive life. That's a very aggressive life. And loving others, there's a measure of rolling up your sleeves and getting involved with people and loving them as Christ has loved you, accepting them as Christ has loved you, forgiving them as God has forgiven you. That's hard. That's hard stuff. But it's fueled by the power of Christ's resurrection. And so we get to bear the fruit of that in our lives. So I think faith, this life of faith, is the most difficult thing that we do because it goes against the grain. It's not natural. It's not how we think. That's why we need the Holy Spirit living within us to teach us what faith really means and how to apply that in day-to-day life. And then to empower us with the courage and the guts to take a step of faith, because that's scary. We don't know what the result of that is going to be. We have to set aside control and realize that God's in control and take that step of faith. That's a dynamic life. And if we'll recognize that when Christ comes to live inside of us, boy, he's going to be doing incredible things in us. So it's not passive in any way, shape, or form. When we're abiding in Christ, we're doing more than we ever did, trying to live up to, standards and laws and rules and regulations. At least that's been my experience.
Well, Bob, let me just say this. In James chapter 5, there's a few things I'd like to say if I got the time. In James chapter 2, he says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons believe and they tremble. They still believe in him. They have no other choice but to believe in him. They see him. They're in the colossal predicament that they're in because they refuse to.
Well, Frank, I'm going to have to cut you off here. We're about out of time on this edition of Basic Gospel. Faith is a dynamic word. Faith is an active word. And I think that's what the Bible reveals. But thanks for your comments today. As always, love hearing from you.
Friends, if what you hear each day on this broadcast is benefiting you, we need your help to keep the Basic Gospel coming. God loves you, and he wants you to know the freedom and life that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ and how it can impact your life right this very day. That's why we do what we do on the air every day. But it requires financial resources to remain on the air. As a matter of fact, we need to see additional donations of $250,000 by the end of this month. And we know that a lot of you listening to this broadcast each day can step up to the plate with a gift of $250 without missing a beat. If only 1,000 of you did so, we would meet our need. Or if 250 of you would make a gift of $1,000 today, that too would meet our need. Would you be one of those? We need that kind of support from you right now. But we also know that every gift, no matter the size, helps and makes a difference. So please join in the celebration of Christmas with us with a gift today. Whatever you can do, we need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. So give what you can, and may God bless and multiply your gift to this ministry. As a reminder, the booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life that we've been talking about, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that right now, as a matter of fact. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for the booklet Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to this ministry. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.